right. We've got Raul Pareda bringing the parade today on the Profusion podcast. Raul Pareda bringing the parade. He's working in my backyard this week. On a golf course. You're on a golf course, right?
Yeah. Let's put it this way.
We live on a golf course.
Hey, listen, that's plan B if you want me to work in your backyard.
Hey, man, my tree guys, I mean, these tree guys are like, here, it's this much. I'm like, whoa, how much? And they're like, all right, this much. I'm like, oh, that's a little bit better. You know,
that's a little better.
Oh, the pricing. I'm like, oh, yeah. So, Raul Pareda, you're on the Latin American. So, Profusion podcast, it's like about mindset, abundance, you know, you can get or have anything you want. What kind of mindset do you need to get there? And also you're basically an entrepreneur, right? You're sort of an entrepreneur. You're a professional athlete. So you're on the Latin American tour, right?
Or I was.
You were. Okay. So you're playing on Valley, which is Pete Dye's Valley this week. TPC Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, Pete Dye's Valley. And if you finish the top 45, we were talking before, if you finish top 45, you move up to Corn Ferry. If you finish top 5, you're on the PGA Tour.
And I don't have to work in your backyard.
No. Well, you will, but you'll still be hacking some golf clubs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, that's a goal. You know, it's the first time I get to play at the final stage of the Q School for the now PGA Tour, because after, I don't know, X amount of years, they have not awarded PGA Tour cards after this, but now this year they're doing it, and you know it's an extra. It's been a while that they only give cards for the Corn Ferry Tour, so I think you have a little extra motivation to work for.
So that it's been a while. It's a while. How often?
Yeah. So I think the last time they gave cards for the PGA Tour must have been like 2011 or something like that.
What? So, just like. You mean like give them out, like you can
play. So it was the Q School series, the same as what we're playing, and they used to give cards to the PGA Tour just like right now, you know, but they stopped that. They were only giving cards for the Corn Ferry because the PGA Tour was filling up. Okay. So now with everything happening with the LIV Tour and everything, you know, other tours, and you're just trying to make it better, so they're giving cards back for the PGA Tour on Q School.
So I like it. Rising tide. Great for you, right? So basically they're pulling some players away from this team to that team, theoretically, and then they're going to bring up some other players.
Correct. And I think it's great. I think that's part of, you know, the PGA Tour having to step up to keep their players happy. You know, I don't really want to get into that, but I think it's another incentive for us to go and play great. You know, there's going to be a lot of players out there that already have full Corn Ferry status that, you know, by the end of the week, I'm going to guess if they are top 20, they're probably not going to try so hard. So it's not going to make any difference for them, because for them, they're just coming to play for that top 5 because they're already on the Corn Ferry. So for me, anything inside the top 4, it's a win.
Okay. So who's out there? Who's out there with you? 168 players. Who's out there?
I mean, you've got a lot of players out there with a lot of experience. I've seen Brian from the top of my head. I can remember, you know, Bobby Diaz. He's a fellow Mexican player. He's been out on the Corn Ferry for a long time. He got his PGA Tour card for a couple of years. He bounced back to the Corn Ferry. He's been out there again for 2 years, and he's out there. He's this week trying to get his tour card back, you know, his PGA Tour card back. You know, there's a lot of PGA Tour guys that they lost the status this year. They lost their card. They are back to finals and trying to get their full status on Corn Ferry or gain their PGA Tour card back. You know, and they play, you have major champions out here. You've got PGA Tour winners.
Who are some of the notables that the audience would recognize? Is there anybody?
Phil McClellan's not here, but let me get you the field, and I will definitely tell you some names that you have, you know.
Yeah. All right, so you got to finish in the top 25%.
Top 25%. You know, you have Eric Barnes, Wesley Bryan, Kevin Chappell, Austin Cook. You've got.
I don't like any of them. I like you better.
Russell Knox. You've got Russell Knox. He's a fellow JU.
He's alumni. A local. Yeah, I know Russell.
Yeah, he's a alumni. You've got Robert Strepp, Kevin Tway, Kyle Westmoreland. They're all being on the PGA Tour. So they've been out there. You know, they know what it's like. You got other players that have been there for such a long time, and you have Korn Ferry Tour winners like Jorge Fernandez Valdez, Fabian Gomez, Spencer Levine. Just so many experienced people that they're just going to try to make it work.
Yeah, but now we got some young talent coming up, right?
We've got young talent. You've got better athletes. You've got just people that are hungry. No, what? Hungry to get.
Are you hungry? Are you hungry?
I am. I'm starving. You know, I know. I've dreamed for this opportunity for a long time, and I've seen it through my eyes, and it slipped out of my hands for a few years, and now that I have it, you know, you put it in the perspective that I've got nothing to lose. You know, I've already taken 5 steps forward from last year's performance, from last year's goals, so. I've got nothing to lose, and I have a lot more to win. The courses are, you know, it's a home game for me. I've played these courses for so many years, so I'm calm about it. The course conditions are miserable. I mean, the weather conditions are miserable. It's been blowing, gusting 30, blowing at 20 miles per hour. So patience is going to be key out this week. You don't have to do anything spectacular. I think you just got to go out there, be patient, and play golf. You know, you don't have to be trying to get to 20 under for the end of the week.
So people play worse if it's like, because it's freaking cold out, but like it's cold, it's windy, it's kind of rainy a little bit. People play worse?
It's not that they play worse, but you know, a lot of people, I think, I'm not sure, but I'm putting it this way in my head. I think they're going to sort of start complaining early in the week. They're going to start checking out early in the week, you know, having miserable weather conditions. And it gets tough when you putt and when you play out there, you know, the wind pushes, the wind is blowing so hard, the wind is taking and pushing the ball so strong. On the greens, it's affecting the ball when you putt. So you have to adapt to all those things and how much you're going to add or take off from the wind.
So God is playing in this tournament.
Yeah. No, I mean, trust me, there's a lot of variables out there that are going to make this tournament a lot more fun than just having perfect conditions and have to fire at everything.
Yeah. So do you have a mindset? Do you, I don't know. What do you say to yourself?
I think I've come a long way from past years. You know, past years I've been shitting the bed before starting tournaments like this, and now I'm in a much better mental position or state where I'm calm. You know, I'm not concerned about the situation. I've come to understand that what happens if I don't play good? Nothing. I'll try again next year. You know, that's been my thought, mental process the past month and a half. You know, so I'm not concerned about the future anymore, because if I fail this week, I'll try again next year. You know, I'm just gaining experience. If I succeed this week, then I'll figure out what's next, you know, how I prepare for the next step. But I think right now, the more I think about the future, the less good I will do. So it's just taking it one day at a time. If I start getting anxious and, you know, by anxiety, I mean trying to guess what's going to happen tomorrow, it's not going to do me any good. You know, my folks are here, my girlfriend is here, so it's just nice that I get to spend some time with them, and I take my mind off the course. You know, when I'm in the course, I'm working, I'm doing my best, you know, trying to get in shape to be attacking the course the best way possible. But when I put a foot outside the course, then I forget about it.
Does it help if are they walking with you? Are they going to walk with you? Does it help? Does that help you make you play better? Or does that not matter? Like, you're so focused. Like, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I think I've come to the point where I don't really care if someone's following or someone is not. You know, if they are here, the worst that can happen to me is that if I expect someone to be there and they never arrive, that's, you know, then my mind is somewhere else. Because I want them to be okay. And there's people sometimes that they're going to come watch me play and they don't know how to behave or walk through the course. Because even to watch, you have to be following certain rules. You can't really be walking next to me. You have to be walking outside the ropes and this and so on, be quiet. You know, watching golf, sometimes it's boring. And I hate it. I mean, trust me, I watch golf on TV and I love it for the sake of learning, you know, and seeing how the players are doing and reacting under stressful situations and different scenarios that I can put myself into. But I hate watching golf. Trust me. It's just I go out of the players every year and I go and have a couple of beers with my buddies because I can't watch golf. So it doesn't affect me to have people over watching. It's me and my caddy out there and at rest outside. It's just enjoy it. I'm not gonna talk to you. I'm just gonna focus on my own, and it's 4 hours where I'm gonna be working, and it's nice that I'm working 4 hours and not a 9-hour shift
outside. Right, you're working outside, you're walking, you're swinging a golf club. I mean, just walking and not playing, it feels good, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, it's just
like long walk, that clear.
Not being suffocating inside an office or replying to emails every day. You know, nothing against what you do because you're pretty successful at what you do. But you're replying to emails all day too, and you're making phone calls. And
I read a book today. It's called Eat the Frog or something like that by Brian Tracy. Have you heard of it?
No.
Eat the Frog, and he says check emails twice a day, 11 and 3. And I'm thinking about doing that just twice a day. Cause all, you know, junk. Half the time I'm checking email just to delete it. Right. And then I got Superhuman. I don't know if you ever heard of that. They filter all that stuff for you. So, I'm not checking. I'm watching the golfers, man. I live on the 10th tee. I'm watching some of these golfers out here. But and I'm like, well, why isn't Raul telling me he's on 10? Why isn't he texting me?
It was just so early the other day when I was out there that I thought, you know, he might be taking the kids out of school right now.
Maybe so. Friday. We might Friday. I was walked over to the putting green. Hey, they got Powerade. I was gonna walk and grab a Powerade
or two. Yeah. No, they've got everything. You know, this is a tournament that is well run by everyone, the team, the staff, everyone out there. I am beyond amazed of, you know, the effort and time and everything behind the scenes that we don't see, but I know there's out there to put together this event. You know, they have screens on both courses to see the leaderboard, and they have the TV towers because they're going to broadcast on the weekend. So it is a big week, but it will only be as weak as my mind will want to make it. You know, if I take it as a playing with my buddies, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. If I make it as a big and a stressful week, then I'm going to shed the bed.
Easy, lucrative, fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, if I don't make it top 40, don't matter. I'll try again next year. So that's been the best I can do it right now. And that's when
it's 45 out of 168, right?
Yeah.
That's the top 27%.
And I think it's pretty doable. Again, the course and the weather conditions, everything is suited for my game right now, especially me playing at home.
So Thursday, there's round one is Thursday, round two is Friday, round three is Saturday. Is there a round four? Or is that it?
Yes, round four on Sunday.
There's four. What's it like playing? Like I play like one round. You know, like if I play like 18, right? I play like nine,
but every 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. Like four rounds in a row. What's that like? Like, how do you, I mean, do you get tired or do you get?
Well, that's four rounds of competition and you have to the three rounds you play for practice. So you play 7 rounds. So you play 7 days in a row. You get exhausted by the end of the week. So that's why I think we take it easy. You know, me that I know the courses, I only play 9 holes every day. I played 9 holes in the Valley on Monday, 9 holes yesterday at Sucker's Country Club, and 9 holes today at Sucker's Country Club. So
you're tomorrow you're on Sawgrass Country Club.
Country Club number one at 9:44.
Yeah. 9:44, 9:40. That's a good start time. What time do you get to the course? What time do you get?
I'll probably be there to warm up and do my warm up routine about 8 a.m. Then I can just change and get ready and go over to Sawgrass Country Club. So probably start hitting balls to practice around 5 till 9 or 9. So I only do it 45, 50 minutes. That's it. Hit a couple putts, hit a couple chips, and off we go.
Yeah, I was watching a video of John Daly's morning routine versus Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but John Daly is a one of a kind.
Yeah.
And Tiger is another one of a kind. So.
Yeah. He's like, I'll run 4 miles. But you know, they weren't like too far apart. Like,
no. Yeah, by the time Tiger has run 4 miles, had breakfast, worked out, played 9 holes, and had lunch, I think John Daly is waking up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, so how far do you hit the ball? Speaking of John,
I average about 285.
285.
Yeah, that's... I'm a small kid. I'm a 140 pounds and 5'9". I hit it. I think pound per yard, I hit it pretty decent.
Number one?
I would say so. Pound per yard, yes.
Pound for pound, the best driver. But does it matter how far you hit it?
Yes and no.
Because
you can take advantage of the average course distance, you know, and then you can be having more clubs to use that you're comfortable with. But at the end, there's every type of player out there. You know, there's players that have been out on tour that they average 265. And they've been multiple winners out there. So I think it's more about the courses where you can really compete, take advantage of those, and the courses where distance is always a hassle. Just do your best and make a cut and make some points and go home, you know. But that you can win in every situation? Yes, you can win in every situation.
So... what's your strongest part of your game?
Right now, my ball striking.
Drive.
My balls. No, in general, the way I hit the ball is just solid. It's good. You know, it's not about my driver is the weakest part. No, I think all around is the ball striking my best. And I give myself a lot of good opportunities on the course. You know, you're not going to see me in trouble a lot. I think I have a lot of good course management combined with good ball striking and just wait for the putts to drop.
Right. So what do you have a goal, like score wise? Do you set goals before you play, or what is that?
I do set goals, and I think they change. I know that they change regardless or depending on the day and the conditions and how everything is playing, you know, but I try to stick it to the things that I can control. You know, if my goal is to shoot 64, I don't think that's a goal that I can control very well, because I can hit every putt, everything in, and shoot 67, but I did great, you know. So more about that, it's, you know, not making bogeys in the par fives. You know, I think if I hit a good tee shot and a good second shot and I give myself a good opportunity for birdie, then hit a good putt, I'm never gonna be thinking even about making a bogey in the par five. You know, trying to make the best swing I can on a par three so I can be on the green. Trying not to three putt, so I, you know, be very conscious about the speed of my putts when I'm far away from the hole. Those little things that will save you 2 or 3 strokes at the end of the week, and 2 or 3 strokes are huge.
So you talk, like, I think those are like Tiger's rules. Have you ever heard of those?
There are Tiger rules, and I think everyone's has adapted them. You know, I don't really know where they come from, but I'm sure Tiger is one of the one that really shared them first on what he was doing.
As I think one of them is no three putts. I mean, obviously these are like basics, but you know, simplify. No three putts, no bogey on par five, stuff like
no missing the green inside 125 yards
and like that.
Yeah. That's great. And I think a lot of players do it, but then you have another players that they're not great wedge players, and you know, they can't put those things to them. You know, there are players that are not great drivers, so they can't really adapt those things to them. I think everyone have to really know themselves as a player and as, you know, their personalities and how they're going to react to situations and say, hey, if I make a bogey, I'm not going to stress about it. I'm going to think that I have many more opportunities out there to, you know, keep going, because there is no cut. So you have 72 holes to perform.
Right.
If you think that you're going to make a bogey in one hole and you're going to, you know, bitch about it, because I've done it and it sucks from, you know, my part that it's happened to me, then sorry, dude, you've got another 60 holes to go.
So strategically, where do you think the top 27% need to be at score wise?
Well, I think everything above or from 7 to 17 under. Depending on the weather.
So that's like about two under each day.
About that. If the weather conditions are every day like today, you know, that is being
so blowing. Two to three under is
every day.
Two under, three under would be 12, two under would be eight, you know, that's kind of hit.
Yeah.
But three under would be, you know, three under every day, you're in.
Yeah.
You advance
100%.
You get the perks of Korn Ferry.
I think 12 under and below will definitely be top five.
12 under. So that's three under each day.
Yeah, I think so. Again, if the conditions are like today, you know, that there it's blowing, it's cold, and but if it sort of wind calms down and it's only blowing about 8-10 miles per hour, I think you can get close to 17.
Do you get cold out there, or do you?
I don't really get cold. You know, when you're swinging and walking all day, you don't get cold. At the beginning, I do when I'm starting to warm up. But I think I'm layered up enough to.
Have you ever taken an ice bath? You have, right?
I have taken ice baths, and you know, I don't think right now would be a great idea.
No. So what an ice bath does is, if you take it, the weather will feel warm.
Right. It's just like when you go to the pool when you were a kid, you know, you will jump in the jacuzzi and then jump back in the pool. It will feel colder and it'll feel hotter, you know. So it's just those thermal sensations, they change. But I don't know. I think it's way too cold to get and jump into ice.
Come on. Let's get you in an ice bath and then you'll feel warm out there. You'll be really warm.
Maybe tomorrow afternoon or Friday afternoon, you let me use yours. I'll come with my trainer and then I'll shake it off over there.
And you have to stay in though for like 3 minutes. And
then I know. And then catching your breath.
Hmm?
Catching your breath because it goes away.
Well, the next day you're going to be like, man, it's warmer today, but it's not going to be any warmer. You're just used to this freezing cold temp, and you're going to step outside and you're going to be like, dang, this ain't bad at all.
Actually,
that was bad conditions.
We go to a tournament down in Ecuador, and the men's locker room's got those pools. It's got the hot ones and the cold ones. It's got a cold plunge and it's got a couple of jacuzzi, so you can do, you know, both things, and we all use it, especially when we recover at 9,000 feet elevation that the city is in Quito, and it feels great. But you know, I got sick after 3 days of doing it. I caught a cold.
Well, you're traveling, you're changing temperatures a lot. I mean, it's easier to get sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving around a lot. Do you wear a mask when you travel?
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever believed in those things of the mask. I think that, you know, yeah, definitely protect you for sure. And one of my ideas, it was that it got you rid of a lot of viruses that you got used to it. And after, you know, not being used to it again, then you were getting sick more often. So I don't know. I had a weird idea about it. And I know my dad wears it a lot. You know, they flew in on Saturday and my dad was wearing a mask. And I'm like, hey, Dad, you're with me now. Don't worry about it. You can take the mask off.
I think not necessarily about COVID, but you travel how many days a year?
Probably at least half of a year.
180 days. You travel so much, like, they, you know, even pre-COVID, I knew a guy that would travel with a mask, and I'd be like, why does he do that? He goes, because I don't want to get sick. You know, it wasn't,
yeah, no.
You know, it was just, I was just like, that's crazy, because that's how, like, they do that in Asia, like China, yeah, or whatever. And I'm like, that's crazy. But then I was like, no, it kind of makes sense, because if I travel, yeah, you're around all the people, you get sick easier.
And I think I learned that all the times that I went to Asia and played tournaments, you see someone with a little cold or coughing, they will be wearing a mask just to not spread it out more than someone else for not getting sick.
That's, oh, in Asia? They don't do that here. It drives me crazy. No. Somebody in the store, and I'm like, you're coughing. And it's just everywhere, all over the place. I'm like,
yeah.
Especially like in a restaurant, and they're like one table over. I'm like, I don't want to be near this. It drives me crazy.
No. And I don't think that people out here, some of them, they don't have they're not aware to others. You know, I've gotten to the point where people sneeze right next to you, and they don't even cover their mouth or nose. And like, literally, you're just blowing thousands of germs into my face. So it's just,
the key is not get sick, right?
Correct.
To not get sick, because you're not going to be play as well or not be as healthy, right? And as a professional athlete, like, that's important. So I think
key is being healthy, because it's one of your tools to perform.
Yeah. So where did you start? When did you start playing golf? Did you start when you were like 5 or 15?
Yeah, I was 4 years old when I first touched a club, and I think I'm still touching the club after 20 years or 23 years of doing this. And, you know, it started as a little game or a hobby, and then I mixed it in with swimming and basketball and soccer and tennis when I was a kid. And my parents told me that I started developing a lot more ability to play the sport of golf than others. You know, even though I was fast at golf, I was pretty agile at playing tennis, but I was not tall enough for basketball. But then I stuck with golf, and I love it. You know, I really enjoyed watching myself get better. And then I enjoyed getting better, you know, because at the beginning was like, you know, you're growing up, you're automatically going to get stronger. You're going to get better at something that you do every day. But then when you enjoy getting better and beating others, that's when it really makes it a lot more fun.
My favorite part about golf is the clothes.
Why?
Because they're nice. It's like you look clean. You look nice. Golf clothes are the best.
No, and I think
why? Golf clothes. Don't even throw a why at me. Why?
No. I think golf clothes have come to the point where you can look – you can have the formality and everyone back in the day that used to wear a suit and a tie and a little vest, you know, it's back in Scotland. And I think you can still look that nice and proper to go out play, but combined with athleticism.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like everyone out there, they wear Lululemon pants, and I think they're very athletic and they look good out there.
Is that what they're wearing these days?
Yeah, a lot of players wear Lululemon, and they wear very athletic shorts or athletic shirts. And, you know, they went back from – they moved from the sweater to a hoodie, so it's more sporty. It's
wait, you can wear a enough. You can wear a hoodie now?
Yeah, I'm wearing a hoodie right now.
Oh, I think I may have seen that. Yeah, I know they're kind of particular. Like, you have to wear pants, right?
You have to wear pants for tournament rounds. You cannot wear – shorts for tournament rounds, only during practice rounds.
How bad is that? Like, in a really hot
It can get pretty bad, but on the other side, I'm like, it keeps the etiquette on the sport. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's something that really describes golf, is the etiquette about dressing. And I think if you wear pants, you can still relate to it.
Yeah. But I bet, do you have like super light pants? Are you like?
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, and then Lululemon started launching their golf pants, which are like, you're almost naked. You can't even feel them. They're so good.
Lululemon golf pants.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, or any other ABC pants from Lulu is just
So
great.
we need to get you a Lululemon sponsor, basically, is
I
what we're saying.
know. Yes. I'm trying to get with Lululemon in Mexico. Their restrictions are a lot of brands actually, their restrictions are on how many logos you can put on, when you get sponsored. Let's say you want to sponsor me, but you're gonna give me 30 grand a year, but my main sponsor gives me 50, and he's got this sponsor on the shirt because of rankings of who's giving you more. He's gonna be your like main sponsor, so you can only put one, and so you'll be left out, and then they get mad because they're not appearing where you go.
Drama.
Drama everywhere.
Just win. Just win, right? If you
And
win,
that takes care of everything.
winning solves all.
All of it.
So,
I'm very aware of that.
yeah. So, okay. Yeah, you want to be an ambassador, basically, a
Yeah,
Lululemon.
I want to be an
I
ambassador for
was. Yeah,
Lululemon.
I know somebody that was.
Who?
He's like a yoga trainer.
Okay, let's keep it that way.
He's a handsome yoga trainer.
Oh my God. No, I mean I think anything. I'm very good friends with the Adidas rep in Mexico, and he's bending backwards to give me or try to get me on the Adidas team, but I don't love the Adidas shoe for golf. For everything else I like it, but on the other hand it's Titleist, which they sponsor my clubs and golf balls and gloves and hats, everything. They give me shoes, and part of me getting free gloves and anything I need is wearing their shoe. So I don't think I'm ready to give up all that equipment for five or six pair of shoes that they're gonna give me every year.
Right. Well, who's like the golden goose in sponsorships? Is it like who is it in golf?
For equipment,
I don't know. Yeah, sure. Equipment. Is it like
it just depends on what's comparable. Everything is different for everyone. Maybe
Nike?
I know Nike stopped producing golf clubs
Yeah.
a while ago. So a lot of players are with TaylorMade, a lot of players are with Titleist, and a lot of players are with Callaway. I think those are the three that you see out there more. But then you have Mizuno, you have Strixon, you have Cleveland, you have Ping, you have many others that really are trying to step on their game to be in one of the best. But if you think about it, Titleist is the most played ball out there on tour.
Right.
FootJoy is the most worn shoe out on tour, and FootJoy is the most played glove out on tour. So, and they're all from the same owner, Titleist.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, Titleist is, there's a lot of Titleist balls in my backyard.
Yeah,
That's the most. Pro
that's the
VX.
most. Yeah, Pro V1 X. I think everyone plays that. If they want, they all want to play the Pro V1.
So so you started playing golf at four, right? You tinkered with it. When did you take it? Shoot, did you play high school golf? Did you play
I didn't play high school golf because there was not such a thing as high school golf in Mexico, although I was. That's when I started coming here to the US to work with my swing coach when I was 15. So when I really started taking it more serious, I think I was like 12. Where I really started to understand a little bit more of what I had to do to get good.
So, what city did you grow up in Mexico?
I grew up in Cordova. That's east, right in the Gulf of Mexico, in the state of Veracruz. We're right next to the water, about a 45-minute drive inland.
And they have golf courses there?
There's only one golf course in the city where I grew up. Nine holes.
Does it have grass?
It does. Sometimes during the summer, sometimes it doesn't. It's so dry that it doesn't. But it's come a long way from being horrible to just being bad. It's decent now.
Are you the number one player in Mexico?
I'm not the number one, but I am definitely a top one.
Top
For the
what?
past, one of the top ones, and depends how you see it. There's players out there, like Abraham Ancer, that he was on tour for a long time, and now he's on LIV. Carlos Ortiz, that was on tour and was now is on LIV. You have Bobby Diaz, who is here. You have Alvaro Ortiz, who is here, and it's me. So I think between all of us, we've been the ones that have been really working hard and being on the highest tours. And then you have other players like Isidro Benitez and Rodolfo Casobon that they're great players and have had their chances, and you know they're gonna be here sooner than later. You know, again, I think it's everyone's time is different, and for me it was this time, and you know I might as well just take care of the advantage.
What is the most important day? The first day, the second day, the third, the fourth? Are they all the same?
They're all the same. You know, there's a book, and I know my girlfriend's going to laugh, and she's out in the room right now, and she's going to laugh because I actually read this, but it says, Zen Golf says that you cannot win a tournament in the first round, but you can actually lose a tournament in the first round. So I think every day is important. There's days where you can get close to the top of the leaderboard, and there's days where if you don't make a push, then you won't get any closer. But I think if you have a good first round, it always helps to keep moving forward.
So you're emphasizing the first round.
It's just nice to open up the tournament with an under par score instead of an over par score, and then you have to, you know, crawl back and try to shoot good for the next 3 days and try to make up a lot of, you know, places of the leaderboard. Instead of, you know, if you start even with one under, then that puts you, you know, right where you think your game is going to be all week. And then if you catch fire one day, then you're moving up 10, 15 spots up the leaderboard.
Yeah. So I played pro tennis for like a minute, right? Before I realized it was like, everybody in the whole world was trying to play pro tennis. I was playing in tournaments. And I was like, this guy, you know, they were from all over the world. And I'm like, dang, this guy has like a killer instinct. I don't.
No, I lost you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, I was like, I want to play and I want to win, but I didn't want to like beat him. Like I didn't want to, you know what I mean? I just couldn't find the way to kill.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like to, and I was like, I really like it, but I don't like it. I you know, I like, is that, do you have that
thing.
Instinct or?
Yes. And that is a thing. And you have that look on your eyes when you turn into a killer, you know, when you really go for it and you are unstoppable and you're in the zone, is what you call it, being in the zone. But there's a lot of players that the ones that take longer to get there is the ones that haven't found it, and they takes a lot more time to really get to know themselves and figure it out how they turn into those killers. But everyone does it at a different level and a different way.
Good point. Yeah, I could have figured it out if I had given it more track. Because I was
but you're a killer. What you do now?
I think I could be a much better killer. You know, I just have high expectations for myself that I do not. You know, I never exceed what I want. it's like, man, I'm always failing myself, so it's painful.
I don't think you have to put it that way, because you know the first time I met you, I don't know if you remember what the first time you said. If you want to be on the PGA Tour, write on your mirror of your bathroom, I want to be on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And then that's something that you read over and over and over, and then it becomes your modus vivendi. You know, the way you live for and train for and act for.
So I do relate to that, like visualize it, right? And I remember we had that conversation like 2-3 years ago or whenever, I do believe in visualization. Like, okay, I want this dollar amount to come to me.
Yeah,
and I dream about it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's so important in life. Like, sometimes I think sleeping is more important than the day.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, when you say visualization, I put it myself out there when I can see myself playing on the big tour and the PGA tour, but I have not seen myself what it takes to get through or to what it takes to go or to get there. You know, I know the steps, but I don't know what's in between. You know, I haven't lived it and I haven't experienced it, but I know that I'm capable of it. You know, a few months ago when you watch him play in that PGA Tour event, when I had my chance, I always envisioned myself having my chance. But when that chance came, I was going to do great no matter what. And it took me 5 years to get my chance, and I think I did great. So I think I was very resilient on how long I waited to get my chance and never give up, because I had rough times. I have great times. And, you know, this summer I had such a rough time, but now I'm having such a great time. So it's just, you know, you remember what in the Rocky movie, what he said, it's not about how many times you hit, it's about how many times you get hit and you keep going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's, again, it's always about keep pushing. If you really want to keep pushing and just figure it out a new way to work on your game. And if this is not working, try to find a different answer, because at the end, everyone is wired different. And even if you are the best coach, or even if he's the best performer or the trainer, even if he's the best, or I'm the best chipper, whatever, you can always improve your technique. You can always improve to someone that's better, that gives you a better message for you to understand and get better at your game. And there's always someone that can give you something for you, give something to you.
Yeah.
So, it's like picking brains.
Do you have a visualization technique for this tournament, or do you have a vision for this tournament?
Yeah, but I think my vision comes more about being present and not trying to get ahead of myself. You know, I envision myself, then I put myself in like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be on number one, and I know the wind's going to be blowing from the north, northeast. So I know that I'm going to be thinking
I have a vision for you.
Okay.
On the second round, you're going to shoot a 68.
But you see that I can envision shooting a 68, but if I shoot a 66, then it's not, that vision never happened. You know?
That's my vision. That's mine. That's
great. Make it a 66 because it's a par 70.
So you got to come up with the rest.
Okay. You've gave me the result. I have to come up with a plan to get there.
No, you'll get there. You'll get there. You got to come up with 1, 3, and 4, though.
Okay. Okay.
So Zen Golf, that's a book you'd recommend for golf?
I think that's a great book. Again, take whatever is best for you as a person, as an athlete. You know, there's a lot of things that nowadays I don't share and I don't agree with, but everyone is creating their own way of thinking. And I've been around a lot of very successful people in my life, and I think I can take a little bit of everyone. You know, you are the one that gave me about writing in the mirror, and
do you do it?
It's not that I specifically do it, but when I look in the mirror, I say that to myself.
Yeah.
So it's like I've gotten to the point to.
Do you believe it?
Yes. And every time I go in the mirror, even when I just go to the bathroom, you know, and go out, it's like there's a mirror, or I see a mirror in the store and I reflect myself there. I see it and I tell myself, you know, you're going to be in the PGA Tour full time.
PGA Tour player.
Exactly.
I'm going to put it in the PGA Tour player. PGA.
Yeah. PGA.
But like Korn Ferry is still good. It's progress, right? Like we just want progress in this life. Progress, correct. Not perfection, right? Singles, doubles. Triples are great, home runs, you know, but so.
I'm glad we're talking about baseball, because doubles and triples are not good in golf.
No. No. Pars or albatross. I don't know. You know, I mean, top five out of 168. I mean, that's like what? That's the top 10%. That's better than the top 10%. That's the top.
That's the top 3%?
That's the top 3%. That's pretty. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. You gotta get freaking lucky. You know what I mean?
It matters being lucky. But what's luck for you?
Top five, basically. Five out of 168. I mean, there's gotta be luck on, lady luck has gotta be on your side there.
Yeah, you know? But what is luck for you? What's your definition of luck?
Just everything going your way. Just everything.
But why does it go your way? Because
I don't know.
This is brilliant, and I heard it, and I really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Luck for me, it's when preparation meets opportunity.
Right.
So it's like
your perseverance on the tour has helped create the luck, right?
Correct.
If I just went out there, dude, I'm not finishing top five. There's not, no amount of luck, right? But you've been on the tour. You know what I mean? You've been on the tour, chipping away to get to that opportunity, be prepared. So, but still, like, everything still has to go your way. You know, like, no friction, I guess. But
yeah,
4 rounds. So, but preferably no friction, like.
Preferably.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to analyze it to business. Like, there's no pushback. Maybe a little pushback, not a lot. Not a lot of friction. Not unmanageable friction, right?
Not unmanageable friction. That's the best way to put it. I think every friction that you can control, you know, that everything can happen and that you can fix yourself. And I've always thought my mom was always concerned. I mean, when I had a problem and she never looked at me that I was very stressed. And she's like, why are you not stressing? It's like, mom, if I have a problem, there's just two ways to solve it. It's whether you have a solution or you don't. And if you have a solution, you can take care of it at the moment, then I don't stress because I can do it. You know, I can fix it. But if I don't have a solution and I can't fix it on my own and I depend on someone to fix it, then I don't stress because it's not on me. So it's like there's always, whether it's on you or not on you, and that's it.
How do you get better? How does Raul Pareda get better at golf?
Yeah, I think lately I've gotten better in my mind, my mm-hmm. mental game. That's what's gotten a lot better. I complain too much. I am a perfectionist. I really am very strict and anal on how I perform and I do my shots and routines and all that stuff to repeat. And you know, if I want to hit a shot that lands in 135 yards and if I land at 137, then, you know, it's not perfect. And I think me thriving perfection helps me get better and better, even though I'm never going to reach perfection. I know that. But my mental game has come to the point where I know how to just get loose and not care, but care at the same time. You know, so it's just like really, really put some weight on what I can really control. Again, it's everything about controlling and being present and, you know, everything that's in my hands, you know, whatever it's not on my hands, I can do. If I'm three putting, then I'm going to go work on my pace and my speed control. You know, I worked it out with Sammy the other day on the putting green and, you know, not three putting. That's how you avoid three putts, but you can also avoid three putts from hitting on the good side of the green. So, and then it comes again, you know, if I want to hit on the good side of the green, then I want to work on my alignment, so I know that I'm aiming to the right place. So it's those little details that people don't, or people that play the sport, they think it's always about swinging and swinging fast and swinging hard. You know, sometimes you're better about being long of the green than short of the green. Sometimes you're better of being off the green than on the green. So it's just a game of everyone that plays this game, we're all crazy.
Well, so do you know where you're playing Saturday or Sunday yet?
No. So I think the way it's going to work, because I have not deciphered this, but I think the top of the bracket is going to play at Sucker's Country Club again on Saturday, and the lower side of the bracket will play at the Valley on Saturday. So the goal is to be playing at Sucker's Country Club on Saturday.
And then what about
since the main course is the Valley, then they will finish up with the leaders and the top players out of the Valley on Sunday. So I think, you know, I really want to be that. I want to be that way. I want to be Sucker's Country Club Valley, Sucker's Country Club Valley.
Okay. So, well, Sawgrass Country Club is tomorrow for you, right? And then Valley is Friday.
Correct.
But Sawgrass, oh, top half. Yeah. See, one other A B.
Yeah.
Got it.
Nobody can play the one course three times. It's only two and two.
Okay. Got it. Well, shoot. Dude, you got it, dude, man. You got it. You're going to finish in the top 45.
But listen, I remember then last time I saw you, you said, well, heck, can we bring Lemonade out to the players? Can Sammy be out here hanging out Lemonade? So you better be out hanging out Lemonade in your backyard.
Well, you're definitely going to be there Saturday and Sunday, and we'll figure out Friday. We might walk with you Friday. We'll figure it out. I wonder how busy it's going to be. Do you think it's going to be real busy, or like it's going to be kind of sparse because of the weather?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be super busy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can walk right out. I mean, you're starting at 10 on Friday at 8:30.
8:30, yeah.
8:30. That's about when I wake up.
Good.
You want some coffee? No, you probably don't want coffee.
I do drink coffee just before I play, but not while I play.
Not
while playing.
Yeah.
When I play. In the mornings, I do.
Well, you got toilets, so you can hit the toilet, but it'll run through you.
It's more about me shaking, but I think that's mental too. I just don't do it when I play. I do it before playing. Kind of helps me wake up and get in a good mood.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, we're gonna be there for you, man.
Perfect, man. I appreciate it.
We believe in you, man, and we believe in you. You got this.
And thank you. I really appreciate it. More than you believe it in me, which, to be honest, I'm very thankful for that, but I don't care. It's more about me believing in myself.
I want you. What, US Open or like, you know, before you hit one of those tournaments, because, you know, that's your commitment. That's your commitment to me.
Yes, I will. And you got it.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Thank you, man.
All right, take it easy.
Bye.